Hello and welcome to each of you. My name is Darlene Hunter, and I am excited to be hosting this call tonight for our Center for Sacred Studies monthly community prayer portal calls, which are being facilitated by Jyoti and myself and our guests this evening. I'm sitting in the seat tonight for our Reverend Hanayo, our Global University Director for the Center for Sacred Studies, as she holds this seat. So as we begin, I just wanted to take a moment, again, to introduce the Center for Sacred Studies and our own history so you can hear our creation story as we followed Spirit's guidance to bring us here today. The seeds of the Center for Sacred Studies were first planted in 1995 in our intentional community, Kaimari, which is now a global spiritual village. We joined together at that time to live together, to raise our children together, and to create a safe place for prayer while nurturing our relation to the divine and to this amazing creation that we all live on. In our nonprofit route, the Center for Sacred Studies took hold in 2001 to protect these ways of prayer. This created a collaboration with the global community to serve our earth-based initiatives, to honor our ceremonies in our sanctuary, and to inspire with our global university through our ministry and educational programs. And now, even now, we continue through the decades to unite with people in many, many countries around the world, growing our prayer for the next seven generations. To that. So I want to introduce you tonight to our sacred study facilitators. We have Marjine, who is our CSS Communications Director. She's holding the dynamic flow of our outreach through our website, our newsletters, our Wisdom Bridge teleseminars, our podcasts, and so much more. I know that many of you tonight, all of you tonight, are here on this call because of her and what she does. She also facilitates on the teaching staff of CSS, is a certified Maya Tree Breathwork, and is about to become an ordained minister of walking prayer. Marjine is going to be running the mechanics behind the magic curtain tonight. So she will be muting all of our microphones. And during the time after we listen to our guests talk about prophecy, then we will open it up for some questions, and she'll direct us how to do that at that time. My elder shared that we should introduce ourselves first. I'm Darlene Hunter, the spiritual director for the Center for Sacred Studies. I'm also a founding member of the Center for Sacred Studies, co-creator of the ministry training program, and one of the original founding members of our Kaimari Village. I'm also on the teaching staff, of course, for the Stargate Mystery School, which is an international school on consciousness, been there for about 22 years now, as well as a breath worker and, of course, a minister, wearing many hats. And for all of you who know our Jyoti, who is sitting in our Grandmother Vision Council seats for both the Center for Sacred Studies and the Fountain. She is an internationally renowned spiritual advisor, a PhD in transpersonal psychology, including postgraduate study at the Carl Jung Institute in Zurich. And she is a creator of Maya Tree Breathwork and the Stargate Mystery School, a minister of walking prayer, and the original founder and spiritual leader for the Center for Sacred Studies. And she will then be introducing our guests to each and every one of us, to all of us. And so as we do, let's open up with a prayer tonight. So if you can all, let's just take a breath. I know many of you are just arriving, probably rushing home to be on the call. So take a moment and breathe into yourselves and feel yourselves grounding. Wherever you're sitting, maybe you have a candle lit. Allow yourself to, with your next breath, just feel that energy go into your heart and allow this beautiful light of who you are to shine throughout your whole body. And taking that breath down, grounding into this beautiful Mother Earth of ours who holds us all. And with your next breath, breathe that energy up and connect with this beautiful star nation, our ancestors. All of our ancestors and the ancestors that have lived on this land, all the way back to that original grandmother who dreamed us all into creation. We sit here tonight. I have much gratitude for all those that came before us who opened their hearts and their minds and listened to the beautiful Mother Earth and Star Nation and followed the prophecy and what creation had in mind for us. I give great thanks for the spirits of those four directions that guide our way. I give great thanks for the air that we all breathe that connects us all, for the water that runs in this planet, that runs through each of our bodies. I give great thanks for the fire, the sun, the fire of passion that lives inside each and every one of us. Tonight I give great thanks for each and every one of us who are here on this planet right now at this time. Where we've come because we have a walk to do together. And I give great thanks for those that are on this call tonight that are going to share with us the wisdom where they have walked and learned and share the prophecies of their cultures and what's happening on this planet at this time so that we can grow and collaborate together and make good medicine from who we are and how to walk on this planet with unity and peace and harmony. I give great thanks for each and every one of you who are here today or are here on the call or will listen to this recording, for your prayers have brought forth healing on this planet. I give great thanks for the ability to sit in such a community where we can spread this good feeling all over this Mother Earth and help hold her through these times as we break through this unconsciousness that wants to break us down. I give great thanks for those elders that have come and shared with us the wisdom that will allow us to sustain ourselves so that we can walk further on this path together as a community, collaborating and holding hands and sitting at the table, offering up what our sacred service is together. Thank you for this moment in time that we can share and listen and learn. I give great thanks for this call and for all those who have been called to sit here. I give great thanks. I give great thanks. I give great thanks. So if you'll breathe once again in this moment, I'd like to introduce them again, Jyoti. Thank you for being here on the call and for all that you do for so many, sis. And I turn this microphone over to you.
Okay, thank you, sis. And welcome each and every single one of you. You know, we're here tonight because a couple of years ago, when things started to get so tumultuous, particularly in our country and the political scenes, and the social systems that were breaking down, a lot of people reached out and said, can we have calls, community calls, so we can inspire each other and share with each other and support each other as we make this walk in time. So we did that, and we went on for many months and got some really good responses from just meeting and sharing and being together and really declaring our unity as we take our motions into to the work that we do for the earth and with the earth. And so just recently, a few months ago, we started getting a lot of feedback from people and people writing in saying they missed the community calls and could we start them again because the times were hard and people were starting to lose hope again. Or as my dear friend Ken, who's on the call tonight, said, they were really starting to experience the grief of what's happening on the planet, this stage of grief that we're in, so we can move into a birthing process. It does come in stages, and it does move in waves. So that's why we're here. So last month, we had our very first call, and it was really the way it was given to me, as we committed to doing this once a month, at the last Wednesday of every month, so that we could see the steps that would help us have the tools and the ingredients to cultivate the consciousness that we're walking with, and to also fortify us in a unified kind of field so that we could do that work and feel the presence of all the many that are holding it with us. So the first step that we took was looking at divine intervention and how it comes in through different channels and different individuals and different spiritual paths that give direction and intervene during some of these moments to give us the instruction about what we should do in order to walk it with solid feet. And this month we are looking at prophecy. I know our community, as Darlene was describing, how it's come into being, and now it's almost 30 years old. It's been an amazing walk, and little did I know as this was coming together that we would be a community that would work so closely with our earth-based ways of life, and that elders would discover us and come to share with us lines of prayer that went back to the original times that would instruct us and would guide us, and would also bring the prophecies and the teachings of those prophecies so that we could prepare for the times that we're in, and so that we could raise our families and our communities in all the many places that it sits around the planet, and do it with safety and be protected, and also be caring something that we care for and are so devoted to, and that is those original lines that go back to those original times that we have been asked to hold, so that we don't mix them and we don't change them, we don't break them, we hold tight to them and we protect and care for them. And that is the service we've been in now for this 30 years. And so here we are in this amazing time that's been prophesized by many religions, by many spiritual leaders, spiritual paths. Voice has been given to these times for generations. And I know that our community has been a part in some of the work that we've been trained in and are learning from always and constantly humbled by, is that how to walk with prophecy so that we can stay in the present moment with it, as it instructs and shows us where to step next. And if we stay in the present moment again, it will instruct and tell us where to step next, so that it activates creation actually activates the time element that we're in that way. So tonight I get the great privilege of introducing two of people that have become very dear to me. They feel close in my heart like brothers. I'm humbled to walk with them. I got to know Mindahi through the work that Darlene mentioned, the project The Fountain. And The Fountain's mission is to reestablish or restore a model that's based on collaboration and reciprocity and guided by nature and the sacred. And it's 7 years old now, and it's moving into its next stage of what to do on the planet. And through that doorway, we entered it into it by making very close and deep relations with the four original peoples of Colombia. They've been a major guide to us from its inception and empowered us in this walk from the very beginning days and have stayed with us the whole time. And now, as we move into the next part of our story, we're realizing that sacred economics is here to take care of sacred sites and sacred land. And it is through that relationship that the economy of our lives starts to land in a different way, and we begin to see how the gifts that we each bring are the currency we bring to the table. It's not just centered on money. It's not just about taking. It's about really sitting at a table of reciprocity where we give and receive, where we learn from nature, are guided by nature, and what she has us doing right now, which is how I've met Mindahi, is to really restore our sacred sites all over her body. Those sacred sites, many times the churches came in and they put churches on top of them. They closed them, so, or they marked them off or kept them restricted in some kind of property boundary lines so that our indigenous people, the caretakers of those sacred sites, the ones that were given those original instructions for how to feed those sacred sites and care for those sacred sites so that the earth would stay healthy, they're now giving us the instruction that it's time to restore those sacred sites. And so there are small gatherings of elders that are coming and going, following the ley lines to go to each of those sacred sites that she instructs and to restore and reactivate through ceremony. And then they're also having us establish 13 houses of original thought, which will bring together an acknowledgement on each of the places they set of those original caretakers and others that have gathered there with them from all of our nations, and hold a prayer for peace and unity amongst all people. And so we've activated the first one in Ecuador, and now Mindahi is starting to get one built so it can get activated in Mexico, and we will be given instruction for other places that these houses of original thought. And once they are activated, then there's an eternal fire in many of them that will burn for all the generations to come for eternity. So it brings that light back onto the planet, and it helps the earth herself actually restore her own esoteric body so she can move in her own evolution, bringing us along with it. So with all of that in mind, Ken is now an advisor in that way, and I'm not going to say, I know that you all in signing up were able to read their bios, and they're extremely deep and rich lines of prayer that they carry and walk with, as well as the academic accomplishments that they've made, because both of these beautiful men are bridges from that original culture to the one that we're in now, and are very much instruments in the transformational movements of our planet and the evolutionary stage that we are all now experiencing. What I've come to learn as we walked with prophecy is that it helps us stay in that present moment. It gives meaning to that present moment, and it reminds us that the earth herself, the cosmos, has a divine plan, and we're all part of it. So I don't want to say much more. I just want to turn this over now to first Mindahi. And Mindahi, as I said, I met them both through the fountain, but what I know of Mindahi is that I can never catch him at home hardly. He is always, what I say, on his pony, moving around the planet, meeting with different indigenous groups and spiritual elders from all nations, and doing impressive work through the UN and in many countries around this planet. He is following a web of life and continuing to water that and receive instruction for it as he brings his work forward in this world. And his brother Ken walks in a similar way, and has really has the magic of network working and bringing organizations and individuals into partnerships that will help this divine plan that we are ministering to and in service of. So I just want to say thank you both for being on this call and offering your wisdom and your teachings. And so, Mindahi, could you share some of those teachings and things that might help guide all of those that are sitting in circle with you tonight?
Thank you very much for this opportunity. I greet beautiful beings around, the beautiful spirits that are taking care about the mountain. I greet also you, brothers and sisters. My name is Mindahi Bastida, and I come from the original peoples, from the Otomi Toltec peoples in central Mexico. And we have been working for the mother. We have been working for the celestial bodies. We have been working for the mind, for the body, and the spirit. Every time we pray in conjunction with all beings because we are just a reflection of the sacred elements. We are living with nature. We are nature. We are living under the authority of Mother Earth because she's a beautiful being that give us so much love, so much food, so much feelings and beauty. It was no long time ago, almost 8,000 years ago, when all human beings, we were as other animals, living in harmony, in balance with our mother. It was not long time ago when all beings, we were in one way or in another, living in such a beautiful way that this relationship gave us the opportunity to develop our mind and the spirit. But suddenly, as it was already prophesied among many, many native cultures around the world, we knew that there was something happening. We were walking together the same path. We were walking together the same mission as human beings, because we didn't want to be more than other than humans. And we were walking together hand in hand with other animals, with other plants, our relatives. But there was this time when we began to see that other brothers and sisters, other cultures began to walk in a different path, away from the original instructions, away from the careful life, away from this deep relationship with our mother and the celestial bodies. Instead of taking care, they began to take over. And they began to enslave. They began to take over territories, and they began to take over minds and souls. So this happened around 7,000 years ago, 7,500 years ago, the disruption began. And we knew that the sun was being changed and the fire was in danger. and the waters were in danger. And the Mother Earth was in danger. And even the wind was in danger. It was at that time when we began to see how many people began to suffer, how many animals began to suffer, how many plants began to suffer. This gave birth to other societies that were creating chaos until today. And there is a stone that relates to this prophecy. So the fifth sun that lasted for more than 500 years, it was the shadow that we were living through. So 5,000 years, 200 years was a long account. And we ended this in the year of 2013, May 3rd, 2013. And we are passing through a process of 13 years as a process of unification, as a process of come together. And then we knew that the prophecy of the eagle and condor was coming again. As a way to go back to the original instructions to take care and reciprocate with our mother. So these times are the most acute times, the most difficult times, but also the most intense, and give us the opportunity for the cleansing. Give us the opportunity to come together in unity. So we are now until the year 2026 that we are waiting for this to be accomplished. It was the same year when we met at the Sierra Nevada in Colombia, when we gathered more than 100 spiritual leaders from the Americas and others from around the world. We went into deep consultation with the four peoples of La Sierra Nevada, and we knew that it was coming. So now the instructions are leading us first that humanity needs to acknowledge that indigenous native peoples are still holding and still walking, living together with Mother Earth, while others, what the people of La Sierra Nevada call the younger brothers, are walking in a different path, and they need to come together with us and learn the ancestral wisdom, how to live with and not from. So this is becoming, this is in fact happening in recent times, that we are holding this prophecy, we are holding this task, and it's not an easy task. This is the time that we need really to carry out and stand up with our mother And we are praying now for Mother stand up with us together. The first mandate is acknowledgement of the spiritual authority of indigenous peoples to recover dignity and peace with others. Because for millennia, we have almost lost half of the languages, half of the peoples, half of the culture diversity. We have almost lost also half of biological diversity, plant and animals are being threatened because we don't treat the sources of life as sources of life, as sacred elements. There is much greed in other cultures that they are treated as resources. They have been commodified, and we are seeing the results that we are threatened, and we are being threatened. We are threatened in life. So alienation is happening from different corners. But those corners also are standing up now. So by the year 2026, the sixth sound is going to come up. So we know that we are in very special times. We know that we have the chance to come together and pull together. So we need to protect the special places around the world. That was the other instruction from our mother. Because those places are special places, energetic places that help life, help us, help Mother Earth to regenerate life and give life. And those are the sacred places. As energetic places that help us and other beings. And we need to protect them. We need to feed them. We need to really reciprocate. And this principle of reciprocity is also give back what we always have. So we don't take for granted that the oxygen that we breathe also needs to be acknowledged, also needs to be present, and we need to give back to those beautiful places that we are still holding. But many, many are in danger, as our cultures are in danger, because of mining, because of fracking. They are in danger because of urban sprawl. We are really having problems because there is no international regime, international law that protects sacred sites, especially in indigenous territories. So we need to protect them with the law, but also we need to work very hard for the healing and balancing Mother Earth. So for that, we are going to different places where our mother is telling us where to go and activate and heal those places through payments, through rituals, through offerings. And third, another instruction that we have received is to remember who we are. And remember who we are is come together again with the fire. We call Grandpa Fire, Abuelo Fire, Tata, Dada, Fire. Because that's the spirit, that's the sacred element that can guide us. To really bring back families and strengthen families, communities, and also the work we are doing around the world. And it's also a cleansing, so we can have these houses of original thought, these spiritual houses, where the fire is the main element, sacred element that can guide us. And we can share this wisdom, this ancestral wisdom, with other cultures, with other brothers and sisters that really want to acknowledge and go back to the original instructions. And fourth, but not the last, because we are still receiving other instructions, is the fair exchange. Fair exchange about ideas, about different things, goods, art, the recovery of dignity among cultures. This is about intercultural exchange. And from that, we are really hoping that this sacred economics can help us in recovering dignity for all humans, for all beings around. So I just want to say that this is the most difficult one. This is the most difficult task, the fourth one, because we need to open consciousness. And just to continue the dialogue, I'd like to say that we are not just thinking in the seven generations to come. We are also the seven generations at present. And we are the reflection of the past. And we will be the reflection of the future. If we want to see the future, we need to see the past. Samadhi. Mochingintini, Mochingintini, Mochingintini. Samadhi Kwada, Samadhi Ku. Thank you. For now.
Thank you, Mindahi. So beautifully said. And I'm thinking of, the Kogi have told us, and as part of the fire that is driving us, many of us, is that the ending would fall into the beginning in 2026. And those individuals and organizations and movements and initiatives that were based on those original principles of collaboration, reciprocity, heart, unity, and that all life is sacred would be what flows us into the next part of that story when the sixth sun rises. So I'm thinking of those elders, the ones that passed that wisdom to us and ignited so many of us. I'm also wanting to give thanks to the Center of Earth Ethics, who you do so much hard work and diligent work around the planet, and for the collaborative action that Ken is also adding into our story tonight as he brings representatives from and represents Forum 21. So between the Fountain CSS, Forum 21, the Center of Earth Ethics, we are making that collaborative partnership to strengthen the unification amongst all nations. And so, Mindahi brings the wisdom of the South from Mexico, and Kin is going to bring the wisdom from Japan, from the ancient Shinto lineage. And I'm very excited, Kin, to hear what your teachings will reveal about the times that we're sitting in and what we might be remembering.
Thank you, Jyoti. Good evening, everyone. My name is Ken Kitatani. I offer my gratitude to Jyoti and to the Center for Sacred Studies, the Fountain, for this opportunity to share with all of you my tradition and prophecy. And I also offer gratitude together with Mindahi, because this opportunity to share is also our way of giving. It's our way of reciprocity. By giving and sharing, we receive. Especially when not compensated, this becomes an offering or payment. And in turn, this gives us spiritual sustenance. I offer greetings to all of you and your ancestors, and gratitude for this opportunity to share with each and every one of you and all your families and spiritual related souls. As Jyoti introduced me, one of the hats that I wear is a priest, being a priest in the tradition of ancient Shinto. The original name of that tradition is Kamunagara, which means, can be translated in several ways. It can be translated as ancient divine era, or living in harmony with nature, or to live as spirit lives. This tradition is the indigenous spiritual tradition of Japan, which, academically speaking, is said to be 16,000 years old, but according to our oral tradition, is much older than that. This tradition of Japan went through a major change in approximately the 3rd century BC, when a mass migration of people came to the Japanese islands from Korea and China. And with them, they brought the Iron Age also at that time, what would have been called a modern agriculture in the form of rice agriculture and harvesting. Generally speaking, indigenous people are said to be hunters and gatherers, but we are now discovering through different research, especially in Japan, that the ancient peoples, the indigenous peoples, also had their tradition of agriculture, of working with the land, working directly with nature. This is very interesting as a side note, because in modern times, even as we speak, there are awakened scientists, geologists, who are now working with indigenous peoples in Africa and Asia, and especially Central and South America, working with specific peoples, especially in the Amazon, for example, in Peru and Brazil, Ecuador, etc. And so we have a unique opportunity where the science is now helping support and bring to modern society the ancient wisdom traditions of agriculture of working with the forest and the land. Now, going back to what I was saying before about the indigenous way of life in Japan, this tradition of mine, through this mass migration, or some people call colonization, between the 3rd and 5th century BC, resulted in the shamanic tradition or the indigenous spirituality and way of life being completely absorbed by this mass migration. And the pure form of the indigenous spirituality went underground, and since that time had been preserved in a number of families throughout Japan. This is preserved through oral and written ways and practices, pretty much within each one of these families and villages. And there was a great re-emergence of these traditions, the path of Kannagara, in the 19th century in Japan, just as we see in many of the ancient wisdom traditions in the 19th and 20th century throughout the world. Many mystics appeared who were rooted in these ancient traditions but brought a message that was relevant to these modern times. So the same thing happened in Japan. And it was just part of the fulfillment of an ancient prophecy more than 10,000 years old in Japan, which I would like to speak about now. This ancient prophecy and tradition and cosmology is very similar, if not the same, as the tradition of Mindahi, the Otomi Toltec, also of the Hopi, of the peoples of the Sierra Nevada mountains of Colombia, and many other indigenous traditions. We speak of coming from the star lineage. We speak of our origin here on Earth, being in the continent of Lemuria, which in later times came to be known as the Mu continent. And we also teach that throughout the many ages, there has always been a divine will or sacred plan which was put forth and created by the great creator, called by different names, but the creator is beyond gender, beyond masculine and feminine, impersonal, but one of great love and compassion, manifesting as Mother Earth here in this universe and throughout many universes. We say that according to this prophecy and cosmology, that the Creator created all of us, all of creation, with a goal in mind, and that is ultimately so that we can together create in unity a great civilization of peace, one that is just, one that is sustainable, meaning where all humankind can live in harmony with nature. The key thing to understand is that, as Mindahi mentioned, as in my tradition and all indigenous traditions, and I know Jyoti teaches this through her school, but the cosmology and the paradigm is very, very different from what we have been learning in the past approximately 800 years in the West. And so there is no separation between us, children of Creator, and the rest of creation. We consider all part of creation, plants, animals, insects, even things which we commonly dislike, such as cockroaches, etc., as all brothers and sisters and relatives. The sacred plan and vision was together in unity to help in the future create this thriving spiritual civilization or society where we can all live in peace. The other part of this prophecy is says that this civilization of peace, of evolved spirituality, will also incorporate a spiritual science, a divine science. Nothing like the science that we have now, because the science we have now, a material-centered science, is one that is separate from nature and is destructive. Science we speak about is the evolved science, a science of spirituality that is also in harmony with nature, something that the Creator wants all of us to evolve into and to discover. Because of this sacred plan and goal, according to this prophecy and cosmology, we are taught that initially, after humankind came to be born, we were living in a time of great peace, living in harmony with nature, living according to the original instructions, living according to the universal wills, the laws of nature, and the laws of the universe. There came a time when the Creator said it would become necessary to start developing science, a spiritual science, and thus began a process where humankind was guided to cultivate materials. However, there were specific instructions given to humankind, the children at that time, and that is to cultivate materials according to the original instructions of to do so without bringing harm upon one another and to nature, to do so by living in harmony with nature, to do so through friendly competition. But the Creator knew that humankind would be tempted. We had been given free will, and so it was up to us whether we would live according to these original instructions or not. I'm going to jump forward and skip a lot of the content because we don't have much time. But the next part of the prophecy is the part that I hold on to and say to myself, because it gives me and people of my traditions and all of us of the indigenous traditions great hope. Great hope during these difficult and challenging times. We are told that no matter what happens, it is the Creator's will and Spirit's will that we will together create this thriving, spiritually based, peaceful and just civilization and society, just like in ancient times, where we can live in harmony with nature, using science, a spiritual science. This will happen no matter what. The caveat here is that how we unfold and enter into this time of great peace and spiritual evolution, this divine civilization, will be up to our efforts, the efforts of those who are living on Mother Earth right now. No matter what happens, we will have to go through these times, these challenging times, for various reasons. As Mindahi put, we teach also the saying that we are living in a time where we have to go back to the origin, the process of unification. But because we have separated ourselves spiritually from the divine will, brought about so much destruction upon Mother Earth, and spiritually degenerated as human beings, there's lots of work to do, meaning we have to go through a process of cleansing and purification. The things that we consider to be difficult, hardships, challenges, are all forms of cleansing and purification. So to a certain extent, we cannot avoid these types of challenges, as Jyoti mentioned in the very beginning, this is a birthing pain as we go into this new civilization. It will be a process of collection, a process of tribulation, a process of finding ourselves, remembering ourselves, and returning to the origin. I always say it's a question of whether it's going to be a soft landing or hard landing or crash landing. Which one it will turn out to be will depend on our collective efforts, which is a unity, or how should I say, a collective accumulation of our individual efforts. The more awakened people there are who are doing the work that we are doing together, the path will become easier. But we don't have that much time. And I want to touch upon, lastly, the prophecy that Mindahi referred to, and that is the coming. It's now the process of unification, so it's a process of the coming together and convergence of all the different aspects which have been separate up until now. Science and spirituality will come together. Material and science will come together. The different ethnic groups will come together. Also, in terms of the prophecy of the eagle and the condor will come together, the same with the Quetzalcoatl, the dragon deities, will come together with the eagle and the condor. The last thing I want to say about our prophecy is that we consider the Japanese islands to be a microcosm of this Mother Earth. If you look at the five major continents of North America, Central South America, Africa, Eurasia, etc., there are five major continents inhabited by the peoples. And if you look at the Japanese islands, there are five islands. And you can Google this later on, just out of interest. But if you look at these islands, they are geographically in exactly the same shape as different, well, each one of the different continents. The northernmost island of Hokkaido of Japan looks exactly like the North American continent. The main island of Honshu looks exactly like Eurasia. The island of Awaji looks exactly like Central America. And the island of Kyushu at the south looks exactly like Africa. These also islands form the body of a dragon deity, like Quetzalcoatl. We say that it represents humankind, the spiritual condition of humankind. And so this dragon deity has fallen. It has become like the phoenix, which is in the ashes. Now is the time in which these islands, this dragon deity, have to emerge from the ashes and to soar into the sky to create this new spiritually oriented civilization. If you look at the body, there's the head, there's the body, there is the front leg and the rear legs, and there's also the tail and the wings. And the head is represented by the northernmost island of Hokkaido, which, as I said before, represents North America. According to our prophecy, how successfully we can together enter this new age, into the spiritually oriented civilization, depends on the peoples of North America. In other words, the head. The body follows the head. And so the United States and Canada, which is also related to Central and South America, but specifically North America, has, according to my tradition, this very, very important role of going through this spiritual transformation. if the United States, which is now seemingly suffering from some apparent malfunction in different ways, or spiritual disease or cleansing, has to overcome this. And if it can successfully go through the spiritual transformation, then the rest of the body will follow. So, just to conclude, I would like to say that, according to my prophecy, just to reiterate, no matter what happens, humankind and all of creation and Mother Earth, as it continues to evolve, will go into this new spiritually oriented civilization. The question is, will it be a rocky road or a smooth road? And that is up to all of our efforts. So this is why it's a time of unification, where all like-minded and like-hearted people like us are being called together by the Creator and Spirit to work together. I thank you for the opportunity to share this tradition and prophecy with all of you.
Thank you, Ken. Now you guys see what I mean. These are two amazing beings that are walking beside us on this good path, and I'm humbled all the time when I sit and listen to what they bring to the table. So this is the time now when we're going to open it up for any of you out there that might have questions or inspirations. I would remind you to, if you're going to give an inspiration, if you can just be timely with it, that way more people can share. Because at the in about 25 minutes is when we'll be bringing all of this to a close with a closing song and prayer. And I want to make sure that as many hearts that need and want to express themselves will. You know, as just a reminder, as our elders and this prophecy is telling us, you know, they say it's important to stay informed, so watch the ending, but keep your focus on that which is breaking through. And what's so remarkable as we travel around the globe in all of these meetings, there are amazing things breaking through. So I think, Margene, if I say it right, if they push number one on their phones, that will raise a hand and you will call upon them. Is that correct?
Yes, it's correct. Absolutely correct. Very quiet.
Everybody's quiet.
Yeah.
Well, Mindahi and Ken, you know, when I hear you guys sharing, I get lit up and inspired inside, because instead of feeling hopeless, I my fire for hope burns ever brighter. Because this is, you know, people say, a lot of people will say to me, but how can we change any of this? I'm just one person. You know, and what I have learned walking this road this way is that every single one of us is God breathing out, and here we are. When God breathes back in, we go there again, you know. So we're on a out-breath together on this planet that God breathed out, this one big breath, and here we all are. And every one of us has a significant part of the divine plan and the divine play. And so a lot of people in the last many years have been going through really getting into self-evaluation, self-investigation, to really go inside and find the truth of who they are, and really activate their own authenticity. And some of the instruction that you're sharing here, it gives me hope. It tells me, you know, others have written about it and said we would be here, and here we are. And now they're telling us what we need to do. Is there something right now in this very moment on the planet, in this end of January, this beginning of 2019, either one of you would like to really say, this is the focus, put yourself on this focus right now for this month, this year. Ken Mendahi?
Yes, this is Mendahi. We are now in these times when we have a big opportunity to really work in such a way that we need to have this intention. An intention is all about what we have heard from the elders and from our mother, is to think and act beautifully. And this mandate might be thought that is easy, but it takes a lot of effort. Because as we understand the four sacred elements of life in our cosmovision and in our ancestral wisdom, we know that there is a fifth element that is also sacred, and that's related to the mind, to the thinking. And it relates and gives us chance to get connection with the spirit and with the great spirit. So this fifth element is very powerful. So we need, as the body, to take care of it, because the body is the reflection of the four sacred elements. In our body, we have the fire, the warmth. We have these feelings where we are born. They come, these feelings, from the mother and from the universe. And we can feel in the stomach and in the heart. So the fire is always with us ever since we are born and before. And it will be after we are gone from this material life. So the water is also in us. Is running in the air. That's the reason we acknowledge the rivers in the sky and the rivers underneath our mother and on their surface. Our body also is full of water. But our body needs also the sacred element of the wind so we can breathe life. And also, what we eat comes from our mother as a reflection of the other elements. So we need to take care about this body. But mostly during this time, we need to take care about what we think. Because in this way, the cleansing and what we eat, the cleansing is going to be more powerful. So the fifth element is crucial for these transitional times. So we can come together in unity. Samadhi.
Thank you. I'm just going to remind you, we really would love to hear from you and have you be part of this conversation. So push number one if you have a question or something you want to share. Margine?
There is Jasmine.
Hi,
Jasmine.
Hi, Jasmine.
Welcome. And you have something you want to share, a question to ask?
I do have a question, a curiosity, actually. I happen to be of Ecuadorian descent, and I was just curious to know where in Ecuador did you have the ceremony?
Near Vilcabamba. Do you know that area?
What, say that one more time?
Near Vilcabamba.
Oh, actually, I would Vilca? Love to look that up. I thought you said Vilcabamba for a minute, which I'm familiar
no,
with.
No, Vilca. It's called Vilcabamba in the south of Ecuador.
South Ecuador? Oh, okay. I am from Guayaquil. But I was just curious to know, because I haven't explored the country fully, but to give me a good feeling to know that, you know, in my home country, there's some wonderful things happening. So thank you for that, and thank you for the information. I'm very excited to look that up and get more.
Yes, in fact, Susan and Walter are the ones that are caretakers of that land and have brought the community together there and helped, because we took the fountain to Ecuador, to their farm. And they have a biodiversity farm. And we took them there 5 years ago. And of course, some of the fountain were of the four original people. And when they came on the land, they said, oh, this is a sacred place. And they said, we must come back three more times in order to take care of it with our prayers and our ceremony. And on the third time when they came, they left the instructions with how the house of original thought would be pulled together. Which was to bring the original people, the Palta people of that origin, that region, would be to honor them. And there are other indigenous people that have arrived too. And so for them to be the center point of bringing that all together, and then to bring all the other in the circle from other nations. And so we started to put that in motion. And then last year, the construction got completed and the fire got activated, and they have an eternal fire that's burning ever since. And so probably I can get with Margine when she can put it up on the web or wherever this audio is going to be, and tell you it's Susan, I'm trying to remember and I've lost it right now, Ma'am Dahi or Ken, you might help me remember their farm's name.
Finca Sagrada.
Thank you.
Finca Sagrada.
Finca Sagrada in Ecuador. You can go there and look, and you'll probably find more information. And they are putting together gatherings where people can come and participate with the House of Original Thought, so that the teachings of the original people and the original ways can continue to awaken in everyone.
Oh, that's absolutely wonderful. Thank you for sharing. That means so much to me.
Absolutely. Thank you. I'm glad the link. See, this is what's exciting to this old grandma, you know, is watching how we're all so linked. We're all so linked, you know.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much for that, for sharing all that information. I'm so glad to have been on the call today.
Well, I'm glad you're here. Anybody else have their hand up?
No, there's nobody else.
Darlene, do you have a question, or Margine? Or anything that you want to share that this has really percolated up inside of you tonight?
I have somebody. Shona.
Shona?
Yeah.
Hi, am I unmuted?
No,
yes,
I can
are.
Hear you.
You are. Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to say thank you to the guests for giving us hope that, you know, this beautiful new way of living will come to pass, and that there are some things we can do to move that forward, and that just feels good. So thank you. And I also was curious, because you were talking about the sixth sun or sixth star, and can you tell me how that relates to the fifth world of peace? Thank you.
Hello? This is Minda.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, our Mother Earth is a major being. And as our Mother Earth is also going from one level to another. For such a long time, we have been in the medium inferior level. And it's coming the time when she's also evolving. She's going to pass to another level where it is needed that we, as beings of this beautiful planet, this beautiful being, we also help. So this sixth sun is related to the time and space comprehension of the tangible and intangible. And we need to understand that others have similar or alike comprehension about this evolution. This is not a linear evolution. It's a circular and spiral evolution. So when we are talking about the sixth sun, we are talking about what our brother Ken is also sharing, that there is going to come the time that we all together, as humans, we need to remember who we are, why we are here in this planet, as matter. So the purpose or the mission to be here is to remember also and go back to the original instructions so we can help our mother as she helps us to remember that we are just humans and we don't want to be other, but we want to also to help together in this step forward. So that's what it is said, and others might name like as the fifth road or the other kind of evolution that we need to handle together. It's how we see. It's how we are now saying to other brothers and sisters that we need to remember why we are here in a collective way. Samadhi.
You know, when I was traveling in India too, they used to have the clocks on the walls and all the ashrams, and they would show that. And the clock would have, like, each section of the clock would have represent 2,500 years. And so it would spin mm-hmm. all the way around. And what they would show we were in right now was the ending of the Kali Yuga, the dark period. They said it was the mm-hmm. hardest part. Yeah. And it was not just that we were going to make one move, but this whole clock was about to move. So that's why it's so high in the energy that we're in right now. And so a lot of souls came down right now because this is a pregnant time for our spiritual growth. And it's a pregnant time to be here in service to the Mother Earth as she evolves, turns herself where she's moving, they would say that we've been in those lower chakras, the hell zones, the places where we learn our animal instincts, and now we're moving, we're making this amazing leap into our heart, which is the ascension process begins then, which is why we, in Christian stories, they said we got kicked out of paradise at some point. And all these years now, we've been walking this trail. And now we're coming back to step in, back into paradise. And the difference will be is this time when we step in, we will know what we have and we will take care of it with full consciousness. So there are many, like you're saying, Vindahi and Ken, there are many different ways of speaking about these times. But when you look at them, they really say the same thing. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, thank you very much.
So,
any more questions?
Yes, yes. We have three more, four now. We have Kelia. Kelia, your mic is open.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to sit in circle with everybody. It's a real blessing. I have a question regarding looking into the past seven generations. My calling that's been really strong lately is to bring forth my ancestors and to heal them, but also in that healing process, to bring forth all the errors and make amends for those errors in order to heal that. But the part of the problem that I've been having in trying to learn about this is that through those generations, they've walked away. And so now we don't have a true map to know who my ancestors actually are. Is there maybe a suggestion on how to really call that in order to transmute it all into love without actually knowing exactly what my heritages are?
Ken, you want to answer that?
Yes, sure thing. And then perhaps I could pass it on to Mindahi. But
unfortunately, these questions, we could really talk for such a long time, and I'm going to remind everybody we have five more minutes. So.
Okay. So just specifically to hone it down, you were asking, just to clarify, so how to reconnect with, in one sense, reconnect with your ancestors, but also how to essentially how best to practice. Is that what your question is?
Part of it is to connect with my ancestors, but I know there is a strong line within my lineage that did a lot of wrongs within the world. And so I want to bring those forth and make those amends and heal them for my ancestors and for the next generation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's again, as Jyoti said, that's we could talk for hours about that. But it's a great question, though. And it's a great question for many people like yourself who, I'm assuming, you're from a European descent. But one thing is, like Mindahi said, and we have the same practice, it's important to maintain pure and beautiful thoughts. So it's important not to focus on positive thoughts and to stay away from thoughts, self-deprecating thoughts or judgmental thoughts, because those will only enhance our shadow and take us in a different way. So it's important to ask for forgiveness and to, but those types of doing amends, those types of vibrations or feelings actually have to do with the very strong feeling of love. It's a proactive form of love. So I think one, that's important in terms of the attitude, but then in terms of making amends, this is the part of sacred activism. So to engage in whatever practice or sacred activism that resonates with you in terms of helping Mother Earth. And this could be, there's so many opportunities and many ways of doing this. You can work with the environment or Mother Earth directly. You can work with indigenous peoples. You can work with people of color who are usually living in areas that are environmentally most challenged. So I think it's important to choose what resonates with you the most. In terms of spiritual practice, I do recommend something that Mindahi and I also talk about a lot, and that is if you can find, well, and actually the Center for Sacred Studies is a place that you can study this, but to participate in ceremonies. Because the ceremonies, especially in the indigenous traditions or ancient traditions, are the most intense and I think accelerated way that you can, quote unquote, purify and heal these types of things that have been accumulated by ancestors. And your ancestors also, that also will help you to reconnect with your, form a strong connection with your ancestors.
Thank you. Well, Mindahi, we're coming to a close here. I just want to check in and see if there's anything else you wanted to add. And I want to say to that there are three other people that put your hand up. And the way that I know the field that we're sitting in, having these discussions, sitting in this circle of life together tonight, that once that question has been, that hand went up, that question went up, and there will come an answer to you. It may not have been as direct like tonight through the phone line itself, but pay attention for the next few days in front of you and watch the synchronicities, watch your dreams. The answer will be revealed. So Mindahi, I just want to check in and see if there's anything else before we close. Okay. So I can't give enough thanks to both of you. Oh, there you are.
Yes, sorry. I was mute. So I just wanted to say that the question is so relevant, so important, because it represents so many, many people around the world relying on the ancestry. And we can say many, many things, but I just want to say thank you for that, for raising that concern. You can help yourself in the spiritual realm with others that we are working in this path, but also you can help in the material world, helping us to carry out our duties and our mission. So you can help also in many ways. And not just you, but many people who really want to reconnect and do the right work that we are doing, the sacred work. Thank you.
And thank you to both of you and to all of you that have helped us get this all together so we could let this voice roll out, and for those that made the request so that we would join like our hearts and ourselves together in just this hour and a half once a month. Please know that when you flow away into the four directions, back to your families and your friends and your communities, wherever you are a light there, you are a beacon there, and you are significant to what is weaving. We are connected, we are unifying, and the force of this tidal wave of consciousness is catching us all up, and it is what will carry us through. It is not what we need to do. It is that we sit down and be who we are. So I just want to say thank you that way. And for those that are listening, I'm sure now that you've gotten this recording and are listening to it too, we are all connected. We are all connected.
Just fell off. Her call just discontinued, so this is Darlene. So thank you to you both and to, again, each of you. It was wonderful to be sitting here and listening to both of you, Ken and Mindahi, and thank you for being here. And so, Mindahi, we'll turn it over to you to close us with your song.
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you.
This song is just to give thanks to all, praise to all the people who is attending, and also to their families, to your families, to your beloved ones, and to your territories where you belong.
Yo ya no te embare, yo ya no te mece, samare matismo. Samari makuta. Yo ya no kenbare, yo ya no kenbare. Samari simare, samari simbare. Kamade chichikuru, kamade chichikuru. Kamade chichikuru, kamade chichikuru. Kamade tahyari, kamade tahyari. Kamade tahyari, kamade tahyari. Kamade chidada, kamade chidada. Kamari chidara, kamari chidara.
Aho! Aho, and thank you, everyone. Thank you to the two of you and for Jyoti as she's out there in the internet space. And we send love to each and every one of you, and we look forward to connecting again next month. Be safe. We love you. Aho. Till next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you.